we also want to be able to plot and have models with multiple quantitative variables. Seeing as how that's what most multiple regression models are, is multiple quantitative variables, it would just be awful if we couldn't deal with that now that we're getting into the cool stuff. So we're going to have B1 and B2, each for X1 and X2. And again, X1 and X2 have both been mean-centered, so that 0 is now their average. We want to plot these models so that we can see how both of the predictors are related to the criterion. Different approach. When the second predictor was binary or had k categories, we plotted the y-x regression line for each z group. Made sense. Each group gets a line. Now, however, we don't have any groups. This should be both the x1 and the x2 variables are centered quantitative variables. What we'll do is plot the y-x1 regression line for different values of x2. Values instead of groups. The regression model doesn't care. They're all values to the regression model. It's just in the last couple of models, that value has been a dummy code value about a group. Now it's a quantitative value about an amount. Nothing changes within the model is the good news. The most common approach is to plot the y-x regression line for the mean of x2. One standard deviation above and one standard deviation below. Once again, this is nice because it gives us the middle of the middle third, the middle of the upper third, the middle of the bottom third. So here's our regression model. A is still the regression constant. It's still the expected value of y when x equals 0. I'm struggling with my z's here. Sorry about this. I changed everything. I will change this right after class. That should be x1, that should be x2, so that it matches both there and here. I just plain old missed that. So it's the height of the group, or the value, when both of these are 0. In other words, what's the average performance for the averagest person? People who are average on both x1 and x2, what's their expected performance? Everything else is going to be in comparison to them. So B1 is the regression weight for the X1 centered quantitative predictor. It's expected direction and extent of change in Y for a 1-unit increase in X1, holding everything else constant. In other words, it's the slope of the quantitative criterion regression line for the mean of the other variable, which is 0 because of centering. B2 is the regression weight for the X2 centered quantitative variable. So it's the height difference between the lines. And here's the part that makes this confusing. We are used to looking at the relationship between X1 and Y this way. What we have to be able to do now is look at the relationship between X2 and Y as a height difference. X1 is related to Y in terms of a slope difference. X2 is related to Y in terms of a height difference. Notice that the higher values of X2 have higher values on Y. Lower values of X2 have lower values on Y. So the regression weight capturing the relationship between X2 and Y is going to be positive. If this were the negative one line and this were the positive one line, now the regression weight capturing the relationship between X2 and Y would be negative, because higher coded values of X2 have lower values of Y. Lower values of X2 have higher values of Y. How are we doing? Let's look at a couple graphs. first of all, just showing you that we start with the regression model, and we can get a separate regression model for each of our values. If we're trying to get it for one standard deviation above the mean, we plug in the standard deviation. If we want it for one standard deviation below the mean, it's now negative one standard deviation. And we end up with these here pictures. So A is the height of the X1, Y regression line for X2 equals 0, which is the mean because of mean centering.
The X1 line or the X2 line?
It's the height of the X1 line when X2 equals 0.
Is that what it's
going to
be? A equals the height of the X. Should that be X1 mean line?
No, because these are all X1 Y lines. This one is when X2 equals 0. This is when X2 is a standard deviation above, and this is when X2 is a standard deviation below. Does that help?
Yeah.
All right. So the first thing we want to get is we want to get the line capturing the X1-Z relationship when X2 equals 0. The height comes from A. The slope comes from B1. Because B1 is the slope for the X1 line when X2 equals 0. So that gives us this. Now, because this is a main effects model with parallel lines, B1 is not only the slope of the line for X2 equals 0, it's also slope of the line for any other value of X. So now we need two other lines for two other values of X2. If we want to get it for one standard deviation above the mean of X2, we plug in one standard deviation, whatever that numerical value is, and look what happens. The slope stays the same, and the height changes by that amount. This is the difference between X2 equals 0 and X2 equals 1 standard deviation. So that's the height difference between those two lines. So the positive version of B2 is because higher values of X2 have higher values of Y. How much higher? That much higher. For the negative one standard deviation value of X2, it's the same regression weight, less. These are positive weights because higher values of X2 go with higher values of Y. This is a positive weight because higher values of X1 go with higher values of Y. Here, B1 is 0. There's no slope of the relationship between X1 and Y. So all the lines are flat. How high are they? A tells us the height of the group valued 0, or the value of 0, the line, let's say the line for a value of 0. Here we have one standard deviation above, there's B2. One standard deviation below, there's B2. These are going to be parallel differences because we've gone parallel distance away from the mean. Here, X1 is negative, I'm sorry, B1 is negative because we have a negative slope. B2 is still positive because higher values of X go with, if X2 go with higher values of Z. y. I need a w in here. Higher values of x2 go with higher values of y. Lower values of x2 go with lower values of y. Yeah, well...
So I don't understand why this sentence is here. Because it seems like it's a description of...
It is. What you're trying to do is you're trying to build that quadratic term so that a linear relationship between the quadratic term and y captures a non-linear relationship. That was this thing. That's mean centering.
Yeah, but
right? No, hold on. Yes, it is. Okay. Then we're going to square this term.
Uh-huh, that is a linear line.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to represent, yeah. We're trying to represent a nonlinear relationship in a linear term. Because the model will only accept linear weightings and additive combinations.
Yeah, but this is here we are not there yet. We're still here. So we're
still this is centered and centered and squared.
This is centered and this is squared.
This is centered and squared, yes.
This is centered and squared.
Yeah.
But here is centered, here is not squared yet.
Right. Well, there's two different terms in the model. You've now got got two different terms. Mm-hmm. This is capturing the linear part of the relationship. Mm-hmm. This is capturing the curved part of the relationship.
Okay.
And you need both of them.
Uh-huh. So here in this definition, we have already squared
yeah.
x. That's
well, we haven't squared this one. Uh-huh. We've got two terms in there.
Uh-huh.
We've got the centered term, which is capturing the linear part,
uh-huh.
and the centered and squared, which is capturing the quadratic. They're both in there at the same time.
Both in there at the same time.
Yes, see, there they are.
But here for this, for each one point, the judge's rating is expected to decrease.
Sure. Looking just at the linear part, not the whole line.
Uh-huh.
Just, so we've got a graph, let's see, that's negative and positive. So what we've got is negative and positive. We've got this.
Mm-hmm. So, this, how can we find the value on the graph?
At x equals 0,
mm-hmm.
you draw the tangent,
oh.
and that's the slope.
On this line?
Yep.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Sure. Yes. I'm going to put, they're being copied now, I'll put an envelope in your box. Okay, I'll put it in my mailbox.
Okay.
And it's got instructions on the front.
Perfect.
And basically, you've taken the test. You hand stuff out, you collect stuff back, you stick it in my mailbox again.
All right.
Yeah, they're copying everything right now.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Pertaining?
Two things. Do we have to turn in homework 11?
Yes.
Okay, we do.
Wait, which one's 11?
It was the one where you go to the checker and it says...
Oh, yeah, you still turn it
in.
Yeah, that just gave you... Yes.
Okay. And then...
Here's the thing. If there's a safe assigned for it,
okay.
turn it in.
Okay.
If there's not a safe assigned...
Okay. Okay.
Can you put that somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Let me know.
Okay. Okay. So I went into like the first one. Perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Just, yeah. Keep adding.
Okay. Thank you.
My email is not doing very well.
That's
they're upstairs trying to fix it right now.
That's what I thought.
Sir.
Keep the door open. I'm moving for it. always feels like that. I know, but listen, you've done very, very well. Just remember that sometimes they feel the need to rough you up a little bit. It's because they love you.
Okay.
It won't seem like it at the time. What's up?
Did you see my email a little while back that I first tried to do a couple of parts on the back end? The testing center closed before I could finish.
Oh, okay.
And so I was saying...
resend that email and I'll get that cleaned up.
Okay. And what I was saying...
The rest of it's good enough. We're not going to worry about it. If it matters, we'll just give you a chance to redo it on paper.
And I was thinking, honestly, the chunk that I missed, I think they were just the very last page, and those are all low points anyway. And I got partway through it anyway. So we
want to give you credit for what you had a chance to answer and give you a chance to fix anything that matters. Reasonable to say it that way. So on Friday, I bought a 1962 model 12 riot gun. It was way underpriced.
Yeah.
And the reason it was way underpriced is that it was really hard to close the... close the action on the slide, so I bought it for less than $200. And I took it home and I took it apart and I looked at it, and the magazine tube had a little bit of a bend and a little bit of a bulge, so I filled that sucker up with sand and took a mallet to it.
Yeah.
And now it's straight. And I had to take the action apart and take the magazine, the receiver, I guess we call it, I had to take the receiver apart. Because Model 12s build up some goo down in the bottom there. And I took all that out. And I used to use graphite suspended in Teflon. Mm-hmm. But this gunsmith that I'm working with now turned me on to white lithium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is used in superchargers. Because it is heat resistant and it is wear resistant. It's fairly amazing shit. So I lubed her up with that. And she is fast. Oh my God, is she quick.
Yeah. With white lithium, you're going to be using a white lithium grease, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So if you're going to want to drag it down to -20, you're going to want to test it out a couple times first and just make sure she's still slick.
Right.
My AK, I run that down to -20, and it'll work with a red grease. It's just a red general purpose or some of the heavier weight oils in, sub-zero, it really pays to, you want to check it out, and sometimes, so different things. Frog lube is a grease that ended up killing a lot of ARs when I, because I was able to catch up with the guys later and talk to them, knowing what I know. So, too much of a buildup of grease inside there. You've got really tight tolerance. Mm-hmm. Drop down to temps were about 15-20, and the viscosity just got to the point where that frog lube was just, jamming up the AR. I was running just fine with the AK, with the red automotive. And I have run the AK fine at -10. -20, things start to get... You can fire racket, and by that point, things will start to warm up, is what I'm trying to say, so you can kind of sort it.
And that's why we used to use Teflon and graphite, because it doesn't care about temperature. But it's a mess.
Ballistol and I think 5-weight oils are things to look at. I love Ballistol, but most people think it stinks like crazy.
Yeah, it's okay. As long as you're not trying to sneak up on somebody. That was the other thing about graphite Teflon, is it has no odor.
Yeah.
But it is sort of messy. Okay. So I was shooting... I was out shooting my buddy with his Sega.
Yeah? Really?
Sega doesn't cycle that fast.
Okay.
And it's fairly light, and so that Model 12 kicks less than that Sega.
Yeah, wow.
And like I say, I shot pumps all my life.
Yeah.
Now I have have that thing tuned. I still need to shorten the stock. I like a really short stock. If I'm
like a squared up, you like
I don't care. Yeah. It's all I point my left hand. That's it.
All right. I guess I'll look at arm length and everything else. Yeah.
I have really short arms, and I want that. I want that thing here.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Yeah. Because you get out here and it's hard to get your wrist to move. You get that arm bent, now you're changing the angle and you can do it all with your wrist. Mm-hmm. And that's faster. Mm-hmm. You can do it if you're propped on something. Mm-hmm. But all that requires that you be pretty quick. So I'm going to lop about, I'm probably going to lop about 5/8 of an inch off. Everything matches my original model 1216 gauge. That's the one I shot the most. So everything to match that trigger pull. The Model 12, I mean, the 12 gauge has a slightly longer throw, but not more than the natural motion. So I also got this 7.6. It's the 22 caliber rifle bullet.
5.7. Or you said, let me take a step back. You said 22 caliber rifle.
Yeah, it's a 7.6 by 29 is the cartridge.
7.6 by 29?
No.
There's a 5.7.
Must be a 5.7. Yeah, it's got to be a 5.7. It's not a 30 caliber.
Yeah, okay.
It's this medium.
Oh, I haven't got to shoot with it.
It's,
It's a 5.7. It's like 5 and then like SEV. Dash N.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it was on an FN. It's a 20 round clip.
I want to.
It was smooth.
Yeah.
I went down, I walked down, and just was shooting at the, there's the man, he's got a man size. You know, that was nice. I'm walking up, I was saying, we'll take a shot from here. Listen, I haven't shot enough in the last couple of years to take a 70-yard shot with a handgun. He says, try it. So I hit the head twice at 70 yards. Hey, wait, that one. And the two old guys I was with, the gunsmith and the guy that I know that they collect together, they were sitting sort of looking like, that's 70 yards. It's a good gun. I can, you know, I can put a dot between two other dots on a good day.
Everybody
can. Well, we walk back in, and the guy walks in. He says, "All right, don't me." He walks me into. He's got a room about this big. That's his shop, and then he's got this one place carved out, and he's got an armory door on it.
Yeah.
And in there, he's got four safes. And he opened up all four safes, and he says, "All right, I've seen you handle guns, now I've seen you shoot. Take anything out and go shoot."
Yeah.
Okay, so I pull a double out of my ass at 70 yards, and suddenly I'm allowed to do whatever I want with a tremendous head shot.
I've got
20 different collectible 1911s. This is hanging up. You can shoot it. It's in a case. You have to ask. So yeah, I purchased my allowance for 45 bucks.
Stuff.
And the only reason they say the MA is they want to make sure that the force See you Wednesday. We'll look at the curves. Like people use for course evals at the end of the semester.
Oh, yeah, it's right over here.
Thank you. Find out who else we have. Let's see.
Are they doing the vote on the changed?
I have no idea. I doubt it. It usually has votes that are that important. The
paper ballot? Yeah.
Okay, so which sections are you?
152, 156, and 158.
Okay, so here's 151.
It's 9. You write it on the board.
That'd be great.
Nine fifty-one
seems to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I think they have more. If you check this top box, it'll give you a count for selected rows.
20.
There.
And then put yours down.
152 has 17, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so 53. Do we need 54 or is that one of yours?
We need one.
Okay.
Yes, we need a number. Oh, that's her full class. That's Perrigs.
Seventeen.
156 is my Thursday class, and there's 14 in there.
So 57.
Mm-hmm.
11.
158 is my Tuesday class, and there are 8.
All right.
Is that everyone?
That's all of them we got.
All right. Cool.
So we have. Okay, so let's. Who do you want? Do you want to start with yours?
Took them all out for the conference. Ah, my stolen pets.
Hotel pens are the best.
Hotel pens.
So this is 151.
Okay.
And mark yours or
beautiful University of Nebraska pen there.
So which one is this?
This is 158.
Which other two are you?
14 is 156 and 152.
All right.
I feel like I have 18, but one person has never shown up.
Someone from New York.
Know that.
Yeah. 6. I always figure if they want to talk to me, they can leave a message. I never talk to them.
Address yet?
Yes.
And what was that agreed upon address? I can't wait to hear.
It was the 1226 West 85. So 1220 B Street, 1238. I mean, sure, the guy just gets in the area.
I mean, you wouldn't think it'd be too hard. We in Bonnet Hall on the university.
Yeah, that should be the big clue.
Yeah.
Is that a slinky?
Who gave us these St. I think St. Patrick's Day necklaces.
Dave Hanson, I think.
I think he stopped by in like sometime before St. Patrick's Day or season. But yeah, so supposed to call at some point. Give you a new screen and a new keyboard.
Cool.
So you don't have to tape down your zero.
It's working now, by the way.
Is it really?
It worked a couple times over the weekend and a couple times not.
So sometimes it just boots up just fine.
Yep. Other times it giggles. Actually, here. Yes. It's going pretty well, and you? How's the factorial stuff making sense? Good. Good, good. Who is 151?
Do you tell me what time that is? Oh, that's Hannah. That must be your lab. Yeah, 151 is Hannah.
53?
53 is 11 to 120, that's Greg. Okay. 154 is Emily. 155 is Emily. And then 157 is Greg.
So.
Actually, my favorite week to teach is Lab 9, when they're doing their independent work on the projects. I really like teaching that. I get true one-on-one time with almost all the students.
Right.
I really love it. Some do. Most of you do. Some don't.
Okay, so do you ever wonder about why Rachel has all the problems?
that?
The make a situational.
Yeah. Not that one, but he's managing.
She's got a free KC. Copying that. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.